Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and the community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. My name is Terrell Jackson, and I'm here with my younger brother, TJ.
Yes, I am here.
What's up, T?
What's going on?
Taj is coming. He's a little bit,
he's
running late.
But he'll be here.
He'll be here shortly. He said 5 minutes late, so we'll see if he makes it. But yeah, we're here. It's Wednesday. I believe it's the 19th.
June 19th.
Yeah, June 19th.
Mm-hmm.
2019. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Here comes Taj.
He's only like 30 seconds late.
He's smiling.
Taj, you did pretty well. Sorry. We're talking about you. You can come in.
How professional are we? Where we have people coming in late. There's a lot
time.
Of traffic, though, to his defense.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Okay. So we are live on the Power of Love Show. If you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. We're going to open up phone lines.
Yes, we are.
The phone number is 323-203-0815. And then Twitter, of course. Taj is here.
So Taj, you're going to be on Twitter, right?
Yep.
Taj is going to handle Twitter. The Twitter is at...
DDJ Foundation.
At the letters DDJ Foundation.
That's good, Taj.
Thank you.
You guys want me to do that? I know I'm not supposed to be, but I know you...
Yeah,
you,
go ahead and like do the disclaimer. You're on a roll. So
okay, we are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through, saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us.
Yep. Yeah. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as for the weekend, we all have the similar story with Clyde.
Did you? I mean, it's been a couple shows for me because I wasn't here last week. Did you guys?
We didn't really talk about Clyde because we knew the funeral was coming up, and we wanted to save it for when you were here as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's tough. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, you know, Forest Lawn is, you know, it's
the bed of everything.
Like, yeah, it's,
like there's a lot of people there.
There's a lot of our loved ones there, you know, and it's just tough. You know, that's where Mom is, same at the same location where Clyde is, and Uncle Michael's in a different location, but it's still another Forest Lawn property that's close.
And Grandpa.
And Grandpa. So, so it's tough, you know, and I have one quick question for you guys. Going to Forest Lawn, which is a mortuary, cemetery, have you guys, does it feel different every time you guys go? Does it feel?
It did for me this last time.
How'd it feel?
Because I hadn't been there since the show. Mm-hmm. And
so it's been about 4 years since you were there.
I guess.
Four to 5 years.
Has it been that long?
I think so.
3-4 years, yeah. I mean, obviously, whenever you're there, you think about Mom and everyone else that you've lost. But I remember before you get there, there's that big building. And I just remember being there for Mom before and doing that whole thing. And they're telling you how it goes. And it's just, it's never fun.
I forgot about that.
You know? So while I was waiting in line to go through the gates, you're sitting in your car and you're just looking around. So I saw that building and it immediately made me think about that. And then I just thought, you know, driving, it's like going down the same path, you know, and then Clyde's service was not in the same place where Mom's was, same building, but very close, very, very close to it. So it just, it brings all that back. And then of course you think about Clyde and it's just, I don't know. It's rough.
We didn't really like talk last week, who Clyde was or what. He was an association to us. Like, we kind of passed that on, but...
You want to break it down to our listeners?
Sure. Clyde, we met Clyde through MJJ music, actually. He was working there, and Clyde was like our little spy. He would tell it like it is. Like, if we were getting shortchanged in some way, or we should have asked for more for, like, in terms of, like, better outfits or better, you know, like he would always keep us like so-and-so is getting this for their videos. You guys should be getting this. And he was doing it because he knew what we were going. We were so, I don't even want to say naive. We were nice. We were just, we didn't want to step on anyone's toes, you know, whatever. So we'd always be overly nice. And he's like, no, no, no. This is your image. This is your look. Because he came from marketing at Capital. So he knew how important it was. And we developed an incredible friendship with him because he, Clyde told it like it was. Like, Clyde didn't care who it was. He told you what you needed to hear, not what you wanted to hear.
Yeah. But you know what was awesome about Clyde is not only did he tell you what you needed to hear, he was very straightforward. But he did it in a very, like, it's hard to explain, and I don't know who else can do it to his level.
I don't think anyone has that capability.
It was done with a lot of love, with a lot of, like, lightness, and a lot of truth. So, yeah. you know how they say truth hurts, but Clyde found
a
way
with it.
To say what you need to hear, but in a way where you didn't feel bad. You just felt more inspired, but it was strange. I don't know how he did it. I think it's because of the lightness of him. But he was one of a kind, and what I loved was at the service 2 days ago. You could tell, you know those kind of people obviously impact a lot. Like I knew he impacted a lot of people, but you know there's so many people that came to show their respect and love for Clyde, and everyone has similar funny stories, you know, and. I don't know. I just thought it was a special ceremony. I thought they did a really great job with, you know, letting everyone talk about Clyde. Everyone was laughing, had great stories. And then the slideshow at the end and the video was very touching. Yeah. Clyde was just, as I said in one of my posts, he was a magical person who everyone seemed to love. And he was just an incredible guy.
I have a couple stories for Clyde. But before that, in terms of what was amazing was when people were talking, they were always talking Clyde being there for them. And I was looking at all the people and I'm like thinking, how was this guy? How did he have the time to be there for everyone? Cause he was like, you could call him up and then you would feel like he had nothing, you know, that it was just you and him talking or whatever, that he had made time for you, you know, besides his real estate business. But it was like, you always felt like he made time for you. But then it's like, here's other people telling the same story about him doing this for you. You know, it's like, it was just amazing in that way. But I'll save one of my stories. But Terrell, did you want to say anything?
Well,
we're still going through this, which is kind of why I wanted to somewhat talk about it, because we've done how many shows? And I thought I would be more prepared.
Share a memory, yeah. Terrell. Do you have
I'm just going to share my recent experience.
Clyde
wasn't someone that I spoke to every day. But like we all said, he was someone that told it like it was. And I think that's something, especially in our family, there's many people, yes, people, you know, that will say whatever just to please you. And Clyde, I think why we all loved him so much is because we knew whatever he said was
how he felt.
He felt that way, yeah. You know, whether it helped you or not helped you, whether it was something you wanted to hear or not, he was telling you. And you just had to live with that. And you're right. He said it in a way where he'd have you laughing about it in some kind of lighthearted way or something. And he was so blunt about it that you respected him. And, you know, he just made you feel better. And for me, just recently with going through everything and the stress of life, and I spoke to him on Friday. And he was somebody.
Last Friday, yeah.
Yeah, it was Friday. Last Friday before he passed. And, you know, I spoke to him about my life and the things I want to do and just everything. And I just felt I was so unorganized and just needed to get a grip. And I remember before we left, it was one of those, well, go do your show, go have fun and have a great show. And when you get back, we'll sit down, we'll talk and we'll just sort all this out. But, you know, I left on Sunday and I found out on Tuesday through an email from Jerry Greenberg that Clyde passed. And I was just, no one's looking for an email like that. And it felt so strange because I had just spoken to him. And you know, here I am way on the other side of the world. That's just, I try to call Pops, I try to call you guys. And it was just very, I don't know, just, I had just spoken to him, you know, so it felt really strange. And it was hard for me to continue because, you know, I had a show to do, but I just kept thinking about Clyde. And just, you know, just obviously when you have someone that close and that's just there for you, supporting you, and all of a sudden you hear he's gone, it was really rough for me. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I had my show and Pop showed up and surprised me, which was great. And I talked to him a little bit about the whole thing, and he helped me get through this stuff. And I don't know. I don't know. It's just no one, you don't plan for things like this, you know, and that's what's always so hard. It's always you're never promised anything.
And for me, what was hard, I mean, what's hard is that Clyde was always that person that was there, you know, and any, whether it was a great thing, a celebratory thing, a really tough thing, he just seemed like that non-family member that was just there.
Being supportive.
Being supportive. I mean, even for my wedding in 2007, he was the one who like hosted and talked to everyone and got the messages and, you know, all the video messages. And I wanted him to be that person because he was so cordial, so fun, and so entertaining. I was going to post something from one of those messages that he made, a message to us, but it wasn't, it wasn't,
appropriate.
It wasn't appropriate. yeah, Francis found it, but, it wasn't appropriate. But I just think, I don't know. He was such an, I learned so much for him, from him, even in the short time we did have him. He was so supportive. And what I love about Clyde is even when I, you know, I've been a licensed real estate since 2001, and he was the only person that I really knew that also did real estate that, I mean, besides my partner, Mike, but that I grew up with. But Clyde was someone else that also did real estate. And, you know, back in 2005, I wanted to learn so much about it. So I started to just do, you know, learn the loan side. And Clyde was so supportive of me, you know, helping me get learn it and helping me get through it, letting me make mistakes with his help with some of his clients, you know what I mean? And I just will never forget him and never forget all the things he did, you know. And it was really about love, and that's what I really will always cherish about Clyde. And you know, and the last thing I think, well, not the last thing, but another thing I think I should be saying now is that I learned a lot from him, not only from the real estate but on how to live, you know. He traveled, he lived his life, I honestly feel, to the fullest. You know, he tried so many different occupations, from a police officer to realtor. He lived in Nevada. He lived in Texas. He lived in California. He lived in New York. He just lived, you know, and he experimented with life. He traveled all the time, you know, and that's something that I think I've been doing more and more of, and I have to credit Clyde because, you know, not completely him, but a big part of it, because I, you know, the conversations I had with him and just how he lived his life, he tried different things. You know, in 10 years, he may have done something completely different.
Right.
And I actually love and respect that, you know, and, you know, you get everything you can out of life. And that was Clyde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's been hard for me just because, you know, I consider Clyde one of my best friends. You know, I don't, I have a lot of great friends, but Clyde's always been there for me. I have about three best friends, you know, that I consider the core of it, and that have been, when I say best friends, I mean someone that's been there 20 something years. And when you have a tragedy or you have something wrong, they're there for you. That you watch movies with them, you go out with them, you hang out with them. And Clyde was always the person I could count on the most to be there. I stopped going to the movies with him because he would talk back to the screen and it wasn't appropriate for the area that we were in.
Yeah.
You know,
It's typical
Clyde. And I told Clyde that. I said, Clyde, I can't go to the... I tried it like two times. I thought it was just the movie, but he, you know... But it
he
was
gets
just,
into it.
Yeah, he gets into it. And I was just like, this is not that type of theater. You can't do that in this theater. So, but Clyde was just, he was always fun. You know, he didn't drink or do drugs, you know, so, but he was the life of the party wherever he went.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was like a natural high that he had in terms of fun. And you can feel his energy. And what I miss most, or what I will miss most, is just his positivity. And it's funny because I say positivity, but he told you like it, you needed to, like,
which is positive.
Yeah, no, but I meant like there would be times where he's like, whoa, you gained weight.
Yeah.
And only Clyde would get away with that, you know? But he would also say,
it's true.
But then like a month later, he'd go, oh, you look good, you know? And so you knew where you stood. Yeah. You know, he didn't tell you like, no, you look okay, you know? He told you where you were.
You said it right. Because even when he would say something that was harsh,
yeah.
He did it with love. It was
that's
it was
what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how anyone else that could where you'd be not upset. Anything. We're like, I'm not, how dare that guy?
I'm not feeling the song. You know, I'm not. Or I remember with Haley, he's like, I really like this song. You
Black
know?
Wednesday was his favorite.
Yeah,
Black Wednesday.
So I just think it's a special, special person and someone that I know I will, and I assume you guys will too. Always remember and respect, and love. I'm going to ask you guys a question. Did you either one of you guys go to his viewing the day before on Sunday?
No.
Did you? And I have a reason, but go ahead.
Yeah, I did go. And normally I don't go. I think Clyde, there may be one other. There actually was one other viewing I went to.
Oh.
But, you know, from what Uncle Michael
expressed
to us when we were young and lost mom, I always was anti going to viewings. And it's not that I'm anti, that's probably a strong word, but I never cared to go.
Why?
And because I didn't want to remember the person that way. So, you know, and I respect that and actually agree with that a lot. I did make an exception, though, with Clyde, and I did go on Sunday to view him and spend some time with him. And the two main reasons was, number one, I think Clyde was so memorable. And was so he lived life so fully and so happily that I wasn't as concerned that my memory of him
would be that.
I knew that the happy Clyde and all the fun times, all the crazy costumes would still overshadow a more depressing image or whatever. That was the first reason why I decided to go. And then the second reason was I just felt the need to spend time with him, you know, because like you had said, Terrell, I was supposed to be hiking with Clyde, you know, and when I was into my running, he was into his running,
right.
You know, when I was doing my half marathons and my one marathon, Clyde was there running and a lot as well. And he fell off and I kind of fell off. So it's like, we got to get back to it. And I just felt like, I don't know. I just felt like I had to go see him and pay kind of that respect.
Yeah.
Do I regret going? No, I don't. But at the same time, I don't think I can go to just anyone viewing, you know? And I don't know. You guys hadn't. Todd, I want to know your reason for not going.
It's hard because with Clyde, you know, mom was sudden, you know, with that, and I didn't want to see her that way.
Can I cut you off real quick? Because I thought about that. I thought about, do I regret not seeing mom after my experience with Clyde? And that answer is definitely no.
Yeah.
It's different experiences, though.
Definitely
different
no.
Different situations.
And another thing is I don't have the best memory.
Yeah.
So I know that this memory of Clyde will fade.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it like that. You know, any darkness or any sadness that going to view them. And here's the thing, I bet when people go view them, it's more, maybe for most, it uplifts them or it makes them feel more consoled or more
connected.
Sometimes it brings closure a little
bit. Okay. So
that's a good point.
So most people, or not most, but a lot of people when they go to view, it's for a closure reason. For me, I don't know if it works like that. I don't really think it does, but I just wanted to see them.
I think, you mind, Tosh?
No, go ahead.
I think people go because they get to say goodbye. You know, a lot of times, especially when it's sudden like this, you don't have that last talk, I guess, or you don't get to say thank you, or you don't have to, you don't have the opportunity to thank them and just spend time, like you said, with them. And I think going to a viewing, it can bring closure. I don't think it's always the same for everybody, but sometimes people want to say goodbye and thank you and just have that special moment before, you know.
I will say, I think I'm getting more open to doing it more often, mm-hmm. to spend that time. And it was so interesting, though, because I thought about it when we were walking up to the service 2 days ago. Like, if it was a child or someone that, you know, I felt didn't live,
yeah,
you know, and I still obviously feel like Clyde got cheated or, yeah, you know, died, passed at a young age. But if it was like a teen, he was 51, I think.
Yeah, turning 52, I think, yeah.
But I thought about it, like if it was a child, you know, a family member or a friend of a child, I don't think I could.
Because that's harder for you.
It's harder for me. I just don't think I could. I will never, it would just tear me up. I really feel that, because then I'd start really getting
upset
and kind of angry. You know, and I know that's not the right, that's just an honest mm-hmm. response. And I was thinking about that on Sunday. It's like, I felt like Clyde, if I had one more conversation with Clyde, his answer would be, I lived, you know, yeah. I really feel that. I traveled the world, it was my time. You know, that I feel like that's the response I would have gotten from Clyde, which made me feel okay in a way to go. But if it was a younger person or someone who wasn't in that good space, I don't know if I could, because I'd feel so bad. Like down and in a way not cheated but feel bad, you know. So that's my own.
Dude, I have something to say, but I
go ahead.
No, you about the viewing and things.
Oh yeah, I mean, no, I don't do well with viewings. I think that it's the same thing with Uncle Michael in a way. Like if I don't see them, then I feel that they're on the road or traveling in a way, and I know they're not. But that's, you know, because they're times in our lives where Uncle Michael would be on tour if mm-hmm. we weren't visiting him on mm-hmm. tour. And it's just like, it's my coping mechanism, mm-hmm. you know. Clyde traveled a lot, you know, so he worked hard and then he traveled. So to me, I feel like he's on vacation right now. Problem is that he usually posts on Facebook when he was on vacation, but it's going to hit me at one point, you know, on certain events like Halloween or whatever, like certain things or birthdays and stuff like that. But that's my coping mechanism that I've realized, is that I see them somewhere else as opposed to.
Have you been to any viewing?
No, but Grandpa was the one where I actually saw, you know, that was kind of a viewing. Yeah, because that was an open casket, mm-hmm. you know, so that was, I actually did a lot better than I thought I would do, but also Grandpa had lived.
That's the thing.
And that's the thing. So that's, you know.
It helped.
It helped because I knew he had lived a full life and a proud life. You know, I don't know. I mean, Clyde lived. You know, he definitely lived. It's just, I still feel like it was too soon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And sudden. Yeah.
Yeah. Clyde, when I think about him, and I know you guys will feel the same, it's like any party, any special occasion, event, he was always there. He was always a part of it. And there were many people at the parties that didn't know him, but by the end of the party, everybody knew him.
Everyone knew him.
And they would always say how fun he was. And because Clyde was just that kind of guy. He was very kind, and he always made sure that your party or your event was memorable. And that things that you wanted to happened. Mm-hmm. And you got the sense that if you were going into a situation and you saw he was there, it made you more comfortable. You know what I mean?
100%.
So,
because of how he was, you know, he was fun, light. But if there was something to be concerned about or something to watch out for, he would tell you.
Yeah, he would.
He said, you need to leave.
And he said it in a photo.
You need to turn around and leave, and I'll take care of everything. Or, you know, whatever it was, he was just that person that had your back. And, you know, like I like we've been saying, is that we'll never forget him.
Right.
You know?
And I think one of the most memorable things for all of us, our Halloween costume for a cause, Dede Jackson Foundation event. He, I'm assuming his favorite holiday was Halloween.
Yeah.
And what was so awesome about Clyde is he didn't purchase his costumes.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
That's what made all his costumes so incredible. He made his costume.
It makes sense because they are all absolutely incredible.
And very creative. And I've posted some of his costumes on Instagram, and you can check them out. He's just very creative, and he took pride in that, you know, how creative he could be and getting things and painting it green and all of those things. So it just made me realize that it just won't be the same without him. Just life won't be the same. And I don't know. It really hit me hard when I was out there in Holland, but at the same time, I can hear his voice, and you know, my worries and things with the show, I can just hear him talking, and I felt he was with me.
Yeah,
you know, and just, you know, it's I don't know, as sad as it is, and the only other person I felt this was with Uncle Michael. As sad as it is, and you definitely miss them, you've the memories I have with Uncle Michael, and it was hard for me to really break down and cry, because I would think about him and I would think about memories, I would start laughing. You know, and I think about Clyde.
Yeah,
it's just joy. And I think about Clyde, and even he was gone, I can hear him saying, you know, just making light of it, like, I'm up here and you're there, you know, or something. And just it just an incredible person, and sad that he's not here anymore.
Yeah. Clyde, you know, the interesting thing is for the Brotherhood tour, 90.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Good.
Was it 90?
97. The album was 95.
Yeah. Clyde said something to me during, because he traveled with us at one point on tour.
Well, before.
Yeah.
Before, because our show was our first tour.
Mm-hmm.
And this
See,
was
this
the
is
first
where your memory.
Yeah,
kicks
it was a,
in.
I'll, Both let me of set your it up. Let me set it up me. For you. So MJJ or America, our label America, wanted us to do our second album. Mm-hmm. It was always our goal to tour and do a tour, a show. And we did our show in 97. And I remember we were going to the Zenith in Paris. And that was the first time that MJJ music executives from here in America were coming out to see us. So you had Jerry, you had Ken, and you had Clyde. Mm-hmm. And I remember Clyde saying, I'm curious to see this show. Like, I want to see this show, you know? And it was one of those where it's like, I'll let you know if it's good or bad. Like, yeah. I want to see this. Like, everyone's saying it's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what it is, you know? And
the truth.
And I remember after the show, that was really, really, like, you know, like he couldn't say anything. Like he was, and then I remember all he kept saying was Taj was really Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Like that, he was really, really good, you know?
And he would say that every time I would see him, he would still say, he's like, I really like your Wonderwall. He's like, you sound great on that. And that meant so much to me, like even from that time on, because, you know, artists are really hard on their voice sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't think it's special, or you think it's this or that. You know, I was really discouraged. And Clyde, because he told it like it was.
Yeah, he doesn't sugarcoat anything. If it wasn't good, he would let you know.
And so I always felt like, wow, I have something. Because if Clyde likes it, then it must be good.
Yeah.
And that really, and it's a weird bar that, you know, the two people, Uncle Michael with Words Without Meaning said that, you know, and Clyde, and those are the two people, anyone else could say something, I'd be like, oh, thank you. You know, and it wouldn't mean, but those two people, it's like they didn't, there's no reason to say it.
It's true.
And so it's amazing. But I just remember something when you just said that Clyde helped with some of the rehearsals before. because I had seen some footage of us joking around.
How did he? Oh, with like placements?
Yeah, and stuff like that. He would get, grab the mic sometimes. Yeah. and act like he's like, you got to pose like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was like a born performer.
He was
on Soul Train and stuff like that.
And he would know at the DDJF, we'd have a Thriller playing. Yeah. And he knew all the moves to the dance.
I got to show you some of the video. Because we're just joking around. Like, you know, saying, don't worry, when the tour, we'll get it. Yeah. You know? And he's like, no, you have to take, you know.
Yeah, because he cared.
He was very proud of us, and he knew what we represented.
You know what I have to say? I'm always the person, who, no, I don't want to say always, but I often am blasting social media or talking about the negative things about social media. But I have to say, you know, since Clyde's passing, I got to give props to something about social media. And that's just the fact that it's a place where you can always remember someone. Mm. Like, I don't know if you guys have, but I've often, you know, not every day, but I'd say about every other day, it's checked on his page. And it's really cool to, you know, on his Instagram and seeing his crazy posts and his funny things and even his comments.
His comments are incredible.
It allows you to still feel somewhat connected to someone, and I have to give props to social media for doing that. And you know, it's something I suggest to listeners, just have that kind of mindset that is something that you are leaving behind whenever you post things on your social media. That's something that your loved ones and your friends are going to be able to look back on and feel your presence.
Yeah.
So, and to me, Clyde does that perfectly well. I don't think that was his intention, because Clyde was always in the moment and willing to say whatever he said. Whoever he offended, he would tell you what he felt. But you know, that's what, to me, what made Clyde special. And another Pratash, similar to you with the Wonderwall, when I was doing you know, the guest hosting for the Grammy series, every time it aired on, he would call me and say, "You are really," you know, and like
we've all said, a shocking way, right?
Yeah, and you knew it was authentic.
Yeah.
So no matter how like nervous I was on how it would come off and if I was good or not, when Clyde said it, it was true.
Yeah,
because he would easily say, "Okay."
I love you,
but when are you coming back? Because there's some things I got to work with you. He would say it, you know, and there's a lot of value in that. And that's one of the other things that I've learned from Clyde is to try to figure out. And I don't know if it's just something that was innate in him or something that he just, I assume he always had this skill, but there's a real value. And I think that's why he also impacted all of our lives, because that's something that, especially for us as Jacksons, and we don't get that side all the time. You know what I mean? We don't get that honest, you know, I'm going to tell you how it is.
People want to stay on your good side.
Because people want to stay on your good side. And I think that's another reason why not only, you know, we respected him and loved him, because he would tell us like it was, period, whether we wanted to hear it or not. But it was done in a loving way. We felt the love behind it. And
he would tell you that because he loved you.
Yeah. So I've learned, you know, even in the short time we had him, I learned a lot from Clyde, know, and I'm hoping that, you know, life gets crazy and hectic, but I'm hoping that as we live, we can try to insert more of that freeness in life, that believe in what you say and that ability to tell people, you know, exactly how you feel, whether it's right or wrong, it's how you feel. And Clyde Jenkins, I don't know, I'll never forget him.
Yeah. Do you guys feel that, like, what do you feel in terms of, because we've done this show and stuff, do you feel like this has helped you prepare for this, or is this a different thing because it's close to home?
I think it's helped
some
me
of your advice.
I think it's helped, you know, initially it didn't, not necessarily, if that makes sense. You know, I felt like shook. But as time's gone by, I think it's helped, because, you know, as we always say, loss is part of life, and it's an important part of life. You know, so in a way, I think it's helped, Taj, you know, and I don't know if you guys feel this way, but by doing the show, it's not that I feel like I'm an expert, but I feel like it's like I'm fooling myself that I'm more prepared than I am, or more equipped to handle it than I am. So when I'm at these services, I'm trying to implement that equipped perception I have because of this show and the foundation. I don't know if that makes sense, but I find myself feeling that way because maybe in unconsciously or subconsciously, it is helping, and that's what I'm feeling.
I feel like you're never prepared. That's the thing. Like, and I think that was a good wake up call for me because I felt I almost had a handle, you know, because, you know, but a lot of it had been like with Dave. It was gradual, but mm-hmm. you know, you were hoping that it would be not, you know. And certain things you kind of prepare for, at least you're aware of the sickness or something like that. But then with a sudden thing, you know, it threw me for a loop. I think that was the thing. I hadn't really had a sudden death in a while, and that threw me off pretty much. And everything went out the window. But
and there is a difference.
There is a difference because especially if you as Terrell, you had just talked to him, and I think you had. I literally that day left a text message to him that never got responded back to. I didn't know, you know, that, which is not like Clyde, but now I know why. But it was one of those things. It's just there, I had wanted to ask him a question, and so I just text him. But it's like, yeah, there is a difference in terms of that suddenness and whatever. But at the same time, it's like. Yeah, you're never prepared. Even with the gradual ones, it's like when they're gone, they're gone. But at the same time, I do feel Clyde left such a spirit, and I don't feel like he's gone in a way.
Yeah,
like, that's the thing.
Yeah, he left a very big impression on all of us.
Clyde, I think he's going to be one where I'm going to constantly miss and constantly. Like, he was that person that you can always rely on. You know, when and someone like me who tries different things, and we all work in the artistic arena, you know, someone like Clyde is so valuable just for their honesty, you know. And as time goes, and as, you know, we do projects individually, together, whatever, I think we're going to always realize what Clyde was, because I don't know another person that would tell me like it is with love and get away with it, where it doesn't sting or piss you off or anger you or frustrate you.
It's his delivery in it, too.
I think it was strange. Very, like, non-caring. You know, there was no, like, there was, you know, it's like, I don't like it. You know what I mean? It's like, I just not, you know, and if you came back at him, he'd have his reason. So you respected it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether you agreed with it or not, you respected that. And that honesty and integrity in music and art is, in my opinion, not as prevalent as it should be. But Clyde. That was what Clyde was.
Yeah. I think him coming from, you know, a certain part of LA, he appreciated everything that he got, and you could tell by the way he lived, and that but he never forgot where he came from, and I think that's what I really admired about Clyde. Was Clyde always was still there from there and represented
when the list, well, not the list, but when all the people started coming up to talk and share their stories about Clyde at the funeral service, did you guys want to go up, or
I definitely wanted to go up, but I knew I couldn't go up. I didn't have the capability to go up there, especially because I probably would have cried a lot in that, and I didn't, it wouldn't have been cohesive. Like, it wouldn't have been a good, like, oh, that, well, you know, thank you for sharing that. It would have been just probably not even words. Like, I saw someone else do that where they didn't couldn't even get through a poem, and I was like, okay, that would have probably been me, because I think that's seeing the faces of every, like, I thought about it a lot. I was like, you know, as more people came up, but then I was like, if I turn around and I see faces of people and I see all the people that Clyde had influenced, and I see them sad, it's going to hit me, and it's going to hit me where I, you know, I will be not able to speak, because, you know, I have so many good memories of him. But, and I felt like we should have represented, but at the same time, we were there, and everyone knew, because he was part of our family in a certain way. And he felt family to us.
Yeah.
And as his family member said, he treated us like family.
Yeah,
you know. And
I heard that so many times.
I heard that too. He was very, and you know, we have people that come around the Jackson family just to come around the Jackson family. Clyde wasn't that person. Mm. Clyde cared about who it was, and he would tell you he didn't care if you were Jackson or not. But you know, but he deeply cared about the people, and I think that's the difference, and that's why he became family to us.
Mm. What about you, Terrell? Have you ever?
Well, I did want to share, but the story I wanted to share, I don't think I should have shared.
Okay.
So I didn't share.
Okay.
But I would have liked to, because I think, but at the same time, everybody there knows how Clyde is, you know, and I just wanted to, I didn't share it, but if I were, it just was on behalf of our family and just for me and my family, just how much of a friend, mm. you know, and the importance of honesty and friendship and loyalty and support, because that was Clyde. I mean, it's so strange. It's like I would always go to Mom and Uncle Michael when I would have issues, certain things, and for some strange issue or some strange reason, that often turned into Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
I often went to Clyde.
Yeah.
And you know, I felt safe with him. I felt, you know, he would give me honest, mm-hmm. an honest feedback, and it would come from a place of love because he really cared. And I knew that. And I think that's why I often went to him. I mean, I've had discussions with him, you know, that I haven't had with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I don't think I could have them with anybody else. And that's why it was hard to share.
That's what's so interesting, because he told you like it was, but then you always felt comfortable telling them stuff. You know, mm-hmm. like it's almost like you wanted to be judged by him, but he knew when to judge you and not to judge you, like when to just listen and be there for you or when to really tell you, like, you know, he knew that fine line of like, okay, I should just listen and give him encouragement versus, okay, he needs to hear this.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
Taj. Okay. So let me say this. You went to the
Yes.
What was the exact title? Do you remember?
It was like a celebration before his
funeral service.
Before the memorial. Yeah.
That was like a week.
Yeah.
Because that's.
Yeah, you were still in Holland.
Yeah. Go ahead, Taj. Tell me, how was that? And what was that vibe like? We both weren't there.
It was good because it was, you know, it was good because I got to meet a lot of people that I hadn't seen, but I also felt it was good just to be there. It was definitely in the hood, which mm-hmm. was good, you know, in a way, because it showed how real Clyde was, you know, mm-hmm. in that. And I loved the people. The people were so nice. Like, you could tell that his, whether it was family or friends, they just, everyone was hurting, but everyone was trying to hold on to something, mm-hmm. you know. And that's the thing. Clyde didn't attract riffraff. You know, that was the thing. It wasn't like you were going to get someone. It's not like you were going there and you knew it was going to be like, oh, you know, stay away from this person. Like, that wasn't Clyde. All those people were, you know, generally genuine people. And, you know, just talking, that people came up to me and just oh, you're Taj, you know, Clyde said, you know, they would tell me their name. And I'd be like, oh, I heard about you too, you know. And it's just like, he was just like that. And so I needed that. You know, to go there. But also a couple of my friends went there. Jay went there and yeah. Mike went there. And I was very happy because they helped kind of support me too. Obviously my wife was there, but friends and like that helped me too, because I needed that too. If I would have went alone, it would have felt worse than having two friends there as well.
Yeah.
I'm like going back and forth in my head whether I should read some of my text messages with Clyde, but I'm going to err not to. But one I will paraphrase was when we were doing the DDJF healing Music Heals program in Watts. He sent me a text saying, maybe you guys should post your location and what you're doing after you've left. And, you know, with his Clyde way. And I don't know what my response was, but his response was, remember, I grew up there. And, you know, I just want you to be careful because you guys were sheltered, you know. So it's those kind of things where I think with many people, you would take an offense to it. Like, who are you to text me out of the blue
right.
and tell me what to do. You know what I mean? Outside of family, there's not many people that could get away with telling me. And every time you just know there is love behind it. And there was a lot of just a lot of realness to Clyde that you felt. So I don't know. It's going to be a tough one for me for a while.
I think, you know, the thing too, Toria just tweeted something to us that he always responded to people's comments too, you know, wherever he was. And it wasn't like, oh, you only responded to friends. He's responded to everyone, you know, and you always felt like you knew him. I could tell that there's a lot of people, because I did read his timeline too, a lot of, you know, people that are in the Jackson community / DDJF community, you know, they felt close to him, you know, out of the short time, or not even knowing him, but just him responding to them. And he had that magic to him, because there's a lot of people, you know, they're there, but they're not there. Like, you don't, you know, you didn't really get to know them. But Clyde had a way that he could make an impact in such a short time, you know.
What was the magic? What was that?
I still don't know. That's the thing that I think a lot of people, why it hurts so much, is because it's almost like an energy. And it's like that energy's gone now. It's gone somewhere else.
Is it because he would do or say or anything on a drop of a hat, but do it in
It's just memorable. Like, and it's not only that, like, someone said it best at the memorial. Like, Clyde had a way of, like, the weirdest people in Hollywood somehow would come out when Clyde was around, you know, so that he would document it, you know, and be like, who is this? You know, and you'd see a picture of someone and he'd have the perfect caption for it. But it's funny because it wasn't mean. It was real. You know what I mean? Like, they.
Yeah, he was something. All right. Well, we have to close the show. So is there any last words you guys want to say?
I'm still in shock.
Yeah,
I don't think this is something that's going to pass anytime soon. I think it's going to be something that is very slow for me, and I'm going to use all the tools that I've learned through the show to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, him being a best friend of mine, it's just, and when I say best friend, it's not like, you know, oh, just buddy. It's more of just someone that has your back and you have their back. And that
felt like he, for you, Taj, he's probably like a big brother type of thing. Or
yeah, he was a big brother, but he was someone, and he did this for you guys too. Like, that you felt like, you know, I know what it is, and I'll say it real quick. It's the feeling of everything's gonna be okay. Kind of, you know, there's certain people that make you feel that way. As bad as things are, or whatever, they're a reasoning board, or they're at least like, okay, he's on my side, or he has my back.
I just feel like he was someone in the outside circle because he wasn't family, but because he was in the outside circle, the way he was and the way his love for you felt like family. So it was like, for lack of a better term, it was like you had a spy that would give it to you for real in the real world. You know, and that's, and probably
he,
not the
he
best
he felt it, like, even with the leaving Neverland, because he worked at MJJ, so with the Rob, Wade Robson, being at Sign and Quo and all that, he's very close to that and knew that. So he shared the same, you know, it bothered him just as much, you know, and he can relate to that.
Mm.
And, you know, I believe he spoke out about all that.
He did. And his post, he called me panicking afterwards. He's like, I've never received this much attention in my life. He's like, oh my goodness gracious. And he was worried. I said, and I told Clyde, I said, I'm so proud that you did it. You know, thank you for doing it, because now you showed the world where you stood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in it. And I said, that's the most important thing, is you know truth, and you and I didn't know this was going to happen, but he did.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't stand back and hide. He let, and his post helped so much because he did know Wade.
Yeah.
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 And Joy and all that.
All right.
Well, yeah. And I think I was the one that told Pops, and I just felt bad for Pops as well, because he's, you know, he doesn't have many friends. Well, he has a select few. Yeah. And it seems
like Pops is losing
all of his close friends.
You know, it's tough also that Clyde was a younger friend that he lost.
Yes.
That, you know, I don't think Pops would have ever predicted losing, you know, so my heart's broke for Pops too, because I know he's dealing with it hard. But
yeah, and I spoke to Pops, and you know, what my last conversation with Clyde, we mentioned, you know, him, because Clyde moved to Houston for a little bit, mm-hmm. and you know, he said he had a bigger house and didn't have to stress about anything. But the problem was, is no one came to see him. Mm. He's like, I had one visitor the whole time I was there, and you know who it was? I said, ooh. He said, your father. Your father was the only one that came and visited me. And I just felt bad for Pops, because and Pops told me that he was made plans to see him when he got back, because Pops was out of town as well. So I don't know. It's just a big loss.
Well, we're going to wrap up the show. But again, we took the whole show to talk about someone that we'll always remember, always love and cherish, Mr. Clyde Jenkins. It still feels incredibly surreal. It doesn't feel, you know, it feels like a bad dream, or someone's going to say, you know, Clyde's going to come into the room and say, yeah, I can't believe I got all you. But, you know, we just want to make sure we got this on record that, you know, he was an amazing man, someone we love, someone that was always there for us, someone that, you know, just had our back, and someone that, in our opinion, lived the right way.
Yeah.
He traveled, he tried different things. He you know, he was into everything. He was very lively. And the one thing I do love also, that the memorial service, you know, it was such a well done to me.
Yeah.
But I loved how they utilized the phrase of just live.
Yeah.
And you know, they made it a memorable thing, and something I think everyone went home thinking, I got to live more like Clyde.
Mm-hmm. I think it was his brother that spoke, and I loved what he said, was that we're all hurting, we're all sad, but he can have a little peace because he knows that Clyde lived.
Yeah, 100%. Really lived. And with that said, I think we should also talk about ADEC, which is the Association for Death Education and Counseling. It's an international professional organization dedicated to promoting excellence and recognizing diversity in death education, care of the dying, grief counseling, and much more. www.adec.org. And again, even though we've been doing the show for several years now, it doesn't necessarily get easy to deal with it.
It always hurts.
Anything else you guys want to say?
No, we love you, Clyde, and we thank you, and we'll always carry you with us.
That's it.
All
right. All right.
See you guys
love
next
you, Clyde.
Week.
Bye. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.